Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Hurd.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Max.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
It's time to anchor down and listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name is Max Hurd. I'm your host on this Monday, March the 23rd, second full week with no college baseball because of COVID-19. The podcast is going to keep on rolling, though. If you missed it last Thursday, we talked to Tim Corbin for an extended 20-minute interview discussing all of the baseball aspects of this cancellation with all the info we have now and what it means for Vanderbilt's team moving forward. So any Vandy baseball fans and college baseball fans who did not hear that, go back, go to the Anchor Down Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts. Find that episode and listen to Tim Corbin. So that last episode's got you covered on how all of this affects Vanderbilt's baseball team. Now we go bigger picture with Aaron Fitt, who is the co-editor and a national baseball writer for D1Baseball.com. We'll talk about the cancellation of the season, what scholarships look like moving forward. Will everybody get another year? And we'll know soon, by the way. We'll know a week from today. Talk about the MLB draft a lot with Aaron and what it means for college baseball at large. What he thinks is going to happen. You can follow him on Twitter at Aaron Fitt, AaronFitt. One of the preeminent reporters nationwide in college baseball joins us now. Aaron, thanks so much for coming on the Anchor Down Podcast.
My pleasure, Max.
It's been a pretty wild last 12 days or so since the final college baseball games were played. What's it been like for you talking with coaches and folks of note around the country as all of this has developed?
It's been surreal. I mean, certainly, you know, I think it's been a gradual process as we all try to go through this thing together and come to grips with the new reality that we're facing. But yeah, I mean, I think in the beginning, there was just a lot of shock and there was a lot of anger that the decision was made so early to cancel the College World Series. I think now we're seeing, I guess it was inevitable. You know, I think more people have come to grips with the fact that this crisis is not going away quickly. And we all just have to do our parts. And, you know, it stinks. It stinks for college baseball, but it stinks for everybody. I mean, and nobody is immune to inconvenience right now. Let's put it that way.
I'm not going to ask you to predict the future with so many moving parts right now in the college game, in the MLB draft, in when the season could happen. But knowing everything we know right now, which is a little, but not a ton, what do you think is the most likely course of action for the draft, for scholarships, for potentially replaying portions of the season, and everything in between?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think first of all, I don't think that the idea that has been circulating about maybe playing the spring season in the fall, I don't think that has any legs. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's worth talking about the idea. I think it's great to think creatively and, you know, throw out some big ideas. But realistically, I don't think that's going to happen. I just think we're done with college baseball this year. You know, maybe we'll get some summer ball. And even that, at this point, I'm not terribly optimistic about it. I wish I was, but I'm not. But that would be nice, you know, if we had some Cape Cod League stuff to at least give us some baseball this year. We'll play it by ear, obviously. As far as the draft, I mean, you know, right now, I think Major League Baseball is saying they're considering canceling the draft. I still don't think that's going to happen. My expectation when the dust settles is we're still going to have a draft in June. I don't think they'll move it. I think it'll stay in June, and I think it'll just be shortened. You know, maybe it's only 10 rounds, something like that. But you need to get those premier players into that pro pipeline. You know, if you're 21 years old, you know, and you're ready to go out and play, I mean, you're ready to start your clock. And these major league teams, they're, you know, they pay so much value on age. It's become something that's become more and more important. You know, it's the same player, if he's 21 years old or if he's 22, they're usually going to take the 21-year-old you know, because they value that stuff. They really do. So it's just hard for me to imagine them letting these players sit around for a year getting older. I don't see that happening.
Talking with Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball about all the changes in college baseball and its relationship with the majors because of the COVID-19 season cancellation. If the draft is shorted, as you said, you think is the most likely scenario there, you take 10 rounds, you take 15 rounds. Are the other 25, 30 rounds worth of players going to sign as undrafted free agents and just go wherever they want, or is it a smaller player pool for this season?
Yeah, it's another good question. You know, I don't think any of us knows. I guess, you know, certainly you could have some players sign as free agents, but I suspect that they're restricting the number of rounds. The goal is to try to, you know, reduce the amount of money that they're spending on players this year. And so if they do that, maybe they will say, well, if you're not drafted in the top 10 rounds, you can't sign as a free agent. But I don't know if they can do that, you know, with the rules in place and everything. So it's a mess. The whole thing is uncharted waters, and we're just going to have to figure out as we go.
I know this isn't your area of expertise, and it's obviously not mine either, but I just don't understand where this sentiment comes from the major league teams, that they're going to have so much less money. As long as a portion of the season gets played, they still get their TV deals and all the contracts, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point, you know, so... It's, I don't know. I mean, I think the argument that Major League Baseball needs to save money by, you know, saving a couple million bucks on the draft, I think that doesn't hold any
water. That's not where the teams are doing most of their spending.
No, it's a drop in the bucket.
Let's talk about scholarships a little bit. Division II put out their decision that all spring athletes will get their year of eligibility back moving forward. The D1 Council will decide on that on March 30th, which, as we talk here, on Monday the 23rd, is a week from today. What do you think that decision will be? Do you think all college baseball players will get a year of eligibility, just seniors, or something off the board?
From what we're hearing right now, I think the likeliest thing is that all players will get an extra year of eligibility, but the scholarship relief and the roster size relief will only apply to seniors. I think that's the way it's probably headed. But that's not a done deal yet. You know, there's still ongoing discussions about all that. But, you know, it's going to be, again, it's going to be a mess no matter how it plays out. I do think that providing some kind of eligibility relief is a good idea. But the logistics of it, you know, it's going to be complicated. And it's going to certainly give some coaches some headaches, nothing that they can't deal with. And I think, you know, it's worth having them deal with those headaches in the short term in order to get this eligibility relief. But it's not going to be easy, you know, and there's going to be some unintended consequences, and certainly there's probably going to be more player movement and players decommitting and transferring and trying to find a place where they can actually play, because there's going to be less opportunities for playing time if he's got more veteran players hanging around for another year. So we'll see how long that trickle-down effect lasts. I kind of think it could sort itself out in a year or two, you know, as more maybe eligible sophomores sign pro contracts before they plan to or something like that. I think that good players are going to play, and others are going to either transfer or sign for less money than they otherwise would just to move on. I don't think it'll last for 5 or 6 years like some coaches are afraid it will.
What have those coaches told you about how they'd handle it?
I think a lot of them are just wringing their hands about it right now. You know, mm-hmm. Oh no, what do I do if I have to make room for all these extra players and try to find playing time for all these guys? And you know, guys are definitely concerned about it because they want to do what's best for their seniors and their other players. But at the same time, you have another class coming in. You know, what are you going to tell those players?
Right.
You know, just sit around a red shirt for a year and then what? You know, does the process repeat itself the next year? I'm not too worried about that, but I do think that it might take a couple of years to get it all kind of back to normal.
It becomes college football at that point a little bit, too. If you're redshirting a 5 to 15-man freshman class every year, I don't think that's what anybody wants, coaches-wise.
And college football has the luxury of being able to do that, you know, when you got however many guys on scholarship on full rides, you know. We don't have that in baseball, of course. But, you know, also, I mean, how many seniors, A, are going to elect to come back and go to grad school? I mean, sure, a good number of them, I imagine, but not all of them. And B, how many of those guys are, you know, going to be good enough to play? I mean, a lot of the really good players are already signed as juniors, you know, so, you know, maybe it won't be that bad. I mean, you're talking about three or four extra guys per team on average, as opposed to, it's not going to be 5 or 15, you know, extra seniors or anything crazy like that. So I think it'll be manageable.
Yeah, I agree with you that it does sort itself out over fewer than 5 years, too, on that track. So I think you're spot on there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but, you know, none of us really knows. But I do think that the nightmare scenario about how this is going to, you know, wreck everything for 5 years is going to, I just don't see that. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction.
Well, it's an accommodating nightmare, too. I mean, you're able to give players what they want. So it's a nightmare from the coach's side, but there are a lot of different points of view on this. You mentioned summer ball earlier. We don't know whether or not collegiate summer baseball is going to happen. But if it does, I think it's going to be a pretty crazy summer everywhere in a lot of leagues that could use a lot of revitalization that have lost a lot of their spunk over the past few seasons. Could you see, especially if the draft does move a month or two later, basically every single college baseball player going off and wanting to play every day and play a full summer?
Yeah, that would be huge for summer ball. I think that scenario probably isn't very likely, but if it were to happen, yeah, it would be a boom, you know, and certainly you'd have a lot of draft eligible juniors and such that usually aren't even in the summer pool looking for places to play. Now, some of the top guys, you know, if you're Asa Lacy or Reed Detmers or, you know, one of those guys that you've already kind of proven to everybody what you are and you don't want to risk getting hurt, and those guys are going to shut it down. But there would be a lot of really good players headed to summer ball that normally don't go. And so it would be a lot of fun. I'd love to see it, you know, just as a baseball guy who's going to be really, really hungry for some baseball by the time June and July gets here. I'd love to see it. We'll see what happens on that, too.
Yeah, and hearing from players, I mean, the quality of play in those leagues, especially at the end of the summer when the majority of the A-team or the Power 5 or the D1 pitchers have gone home, has really dropped off. So I think for it to come back in a big way like this, where all of the big-name teams are sending maybe even 10 players to the Cape League and wanting everyone to get 4 at-bats a night, that could make for a really highly competitive atmosphere, I think.
It would be awesome. It really would. We, you know, we're already kind of thinking about how much fun it would be, you know, if you've got all this extra talent heading into summer ball. And you know, we would, of course, go all out covering it because we've got nothing else to cover. You know,
right.
we would really dive in, and it would be a blast. But at this point, I just hope we have baseball in the summer again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the biggest question right now. Will there even be Major League Baseball by the time the 4th of July gets here? I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts. D1Baseball.com is still the best website for college baseball, even when there is no college baseball. Are you guys going to keep doing the podcast every week, I assume?
I don't know about weekly, but we do plan to have some podcasts during all this. We'll keep you covered at D1 Baseball. Make sure you check out lots of content from the archives and new fresh content. And we're trying to think creatively also to come up with some ideas to keep people entertained and give you something to tide you over until real baseball comes back.
Yeah, well, just in the last 2 weeks alone, you guys have had a ton of great stuff for all the subscribers. Aaron Fitt is the co-editor and national writer for D1 Baseball. His Twitter is @ Aaron Fitt, F-I-T-T is his last name. Hope you are enjoying lockdown Boston during this extensive layoff, Aaron. And thanks so much for doing this.
You got it, Max.
Aaron Fitt, D1 Baseball, my guest here on the Anchor Down podcast. We will go on through the spring. Got some great interviews lined up and coming your way. Going to try and do 2 episodes per week. We had Tim Corbin last Thursday, Aaron Fitt today on Monday. Not as much of a strict schedule with no games going on, but we're going to have some fun. A lot of Vanderbilt baseball talk, a lot of Vanderbilt talk surrounding other sports, and I think we're going to be able to get some pretty good, interesting, and unique interviews here on the podcast over the coming months with sports in flux here. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Google Play for your Android phone and also on Google, on the web browser. We are on Spotify. You do not need a Spotify subscription to listen to podcasts on Spotify. So that's another option if you are not an iPhone user and don't have Apple Podcasts. And we are on Stitcher. Go to any of those 4 platforms, search the Anchor Down podcast. We will come right up. Subscribe so you do not miss an episode. Just as we did while the college baseball season was ongoing, We will live over the air Monday nights from 8 to 9 on ESPN 102.5 The Game, which you can listen to here in Nashville. You can also stream anywhere, whether you are in Nashville and inside, so not near your car radio, on thegamenashville.com or, for free, on the Game Nashville app. Again, Monday nights from 8 to 9, you can hear us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks again to Aaron Fitt for joining me for the show today. Great college baseball discussion, and we'll see what happens. We'll have some news soon. You've been anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz. It's the Anchor Down Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.